couldn't help but wonder, if taxes are truly unavoidable, why do they always feel like a bad date we never agreed to? Welcome to Tax and the City. I'm Julia Tatje from Taxum, your personal tax boutique in Zurich. Here we talk taxes simply and honestly. Sometimes just you and me, sometimes with guests, always rooted in real life. And just like that, something mandatory becomes a little more delightful.
Dear Julia, I'm really looking forward to our podcast recording today, and I know it's a podcast everyone has long been waiting for.
I'm not sure if everybody actually waited for a tax podcast, but thanks for that. So I hope that it is a podcast that everybody will be looking forward to the next episode. Let's put it like this.
I'm definitely sure that this is a podcast, the only tax podcast everyone has long been waiting for, but maybe the people didn't know it yet. So this is why we're making this episode today, because you will be sharing your unique story and especially what you are doing, why you are doing it for international clients, for experts, for complex tax cases and all these things that might sound not entertaining right now, but this is exactly the goal of this podcast. So, Julia, let's dive into Tax and the City.
Yes, it should be the only tax podcast that you actually enjoy.
And the only tax podcast that people might enjoy. I mean, this is sounds like something some of your clients could have written on a Google review, and we're coming back to that later on as well, because I was extremely surprised by all the reviews that you got, not because they are so positive, but because they were so much filled with enthusiasm and excitement about taxes, something which is pretty unusual. So, Julia, maybe tell us or tell the listeners why tax is your topic and why you ended up in being a tax advisor and what this has to do with Tax and the City.
So what's wrong with me? Why do I love taxes? No, I don't love paying taxes. I can say that. I don't like doing my own tax return as well, maybe because I have to do it myself. I know that my clients, 99.9% of them also don't enjoy doing their tax return every year again and again and again. But I want to make the process, so the unavoidable process of tax filing, as enjoyable and fun as possible for them. So this is what I'm here for. And I can do taxes. I'm good at that. But what I really love about my job is dealing with people, helping out people and making people feel that a part of their mental load has been taken off them and they can leave it on my desk. I will take care of it and they can do something that they actually love, probably not taxes.
Okay. And how did you end up in taxes yourself? I mean, you don't have the classic tax advisor CV, right?
No, I don't. I have been in marketing and in market research. I have been working for department stores and big media companies. But then I ended up being a tax advisor because I realized that I really, really love working with many different people, because I'm focusing on individual tax accounting and tax declarations. I have clients from all over the world, from all cultures, different jobs, very different backgrounds, different languages. So I am a curious person, and I like to learn about new things and about new people. And I'm good with figures and numbers, and being a tax advisor combines the both. So I can do what I'm good at. It's an analytical job and it's a structured job. And I can still be in touch with so many different people and learn about them and how they live their lives and be part of that.
Okay, so it is. So this is very unusual to hear from a tax advisor, because if I paint a picture in my view of a tax advisor, it's not as colorful as it is, for example, in your office. So everybody who's listening today and does not know the office, please go by. It's on Bahnhofstraße, and it's very beautiful inside as well. And from what you have just said, that you love to interact with people and that you're curious. I mean, for most people in your job, I would figure them as super analytical, rather stiff kind of people. So
most of them are.
Most of them are. So this is why you absolutely stand out. And it is also clear that you offer more to clients than just numbers. You just said it in a very nice way, and I know exactly what that means. You offer to get rid of their mental load, or to lower their mental load. So clients need more than just figures. They come to you for less mental load.
Yes, they come to me for less mental load. They come to me to know that someone is taking care of what has to be done. You can't get around doing your taxes, but you can ask someone to do it for you. And if you trust this person, if this person speaks your language, because my clients are not all stiff, boring tax advisors. They have very different jobs, and they are interesting people. And yeah, I speak their language, and it makes it less like a visit to the dentist and more like something friendly. So this is what I want to do. And this is why the office is bright and colorful, because it's not the dentist. It doesn't hurt.
It absolutely doesn't hurt coming to your office, I know. And tell us maybe about your blog as well. And this is also the name of the podcast, Tax and the City. Why is that the case? And do you have only Sex and the City fans, or do you also have? Okay.
Interesting. No. Not all my clients are Sex and the City fans. Most of them, I think, get the angle of Tax and the City. And even if they don't, you don't have to watch every single season of Sex and the City. Now I said it, Tax and the City. Sex and the City actually like the blog posts. So a few months ago, we launched the blog called Tax and the City, because a lot of people ask me the same questions again and again and again, because a lot of people have the same issues when it comes to taxes. If you are self-employed, the probability that you will ask yourself the same questions as the 10 other self-employed people that I consulted for before is quite high. So we started the blog to give people more like an idea about the Swiss tax system, like in an easy way. Also, it's easy readable. This is not a legal text. There is no jargon in there that you don't understand. It is very approachable, and it does speak the language of my average client. And it even is a bit fun, because it compares taxes to a Tinder date, or the imputed rental value to buying shoes and paying when you wear them. So there's a lot of examples in there, and it's pictures that people can actually get. And it makes taxes a bit more approachable. This is something I think is very important. I heard of clients that said, I never went to see a tax advisor because I thought, this is not for people like me. You need to have a massive income and a high wealth to actually talk to a tax advisor. But this is not true. So it is something that is for everybody. And with the blog, people can learn about certain things themselves. And when they need help on top of that, this is when they usually set up a call with me. And then we start figuring out what we can do for them.
And I also saw some of the reviews written for you on Google, and it really looks like you know every client personally. So is that also something that sets you apart from other tax, I wouldn't say boutiques, but tax agencies? So could you give us some insights into that?
Yeah, potentially this is something that is not the usual case. So yeah, perhaps this is something that sets me apart from other tax advisors, because in a lot of tax companies, people are being passed around every year. They have a different advisor. No one really knows them. And they are sending their most personal documents, like their salary certificates, their divorce agreement, where the alimony payments are treated in, their bank mm-hmm. statements. So stuff that they probably don't even show their best friends. They are giving all this to me and trusting me. And I think they deserve a personal service then. So yes, because I like people and I am a curious person, I am actually interested in who loves Porsches, who is pregnant with the third baby, and who is looking for a house and asks me, if you hear something, if another client wants to sell, let me know. So it is more than just taxes. It is a personal thing. So yes, this is why all these stuff like sticks to my mind, and it makes it a personal thing.
And one of the most, hier müssen wir schneiden. Okay, better. One of the most unusual feedbacks or statements a client gave you?
It was, I missed you while I was on sabbatical. So that was really touching. I'm not mm-hmm. expecting my clients to miss me. That's a bit far, but I was flattered when I read it. Just last week, I was talking to a new client, and after 10 minutes, she was like, oh, wow, this was surprisingly fun. Mm-hmm. And now I can go into the weekend with a much better feeling. And this is what I'm here for. This is, yeah, if someone says that, then I nailed it, yes. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the dentist before. So there was another client that said, speaking to me for 15 minutes is better than talking to his psychiatrist for an hour. So this is also a fun and also flattering feedback. And it apparently was mm-hmm. about, I feel so relieved now, because now I mm-hmm. know someone is taking care of my things and I can mm-hmm. rely on things being treated properly.
Exactly, because most of the people having sleepless nights because of money issues or tax yeah. issues, because, I mean, and you have a lot of expats and also some German people that are living in Switzerland now. And I mean, we all know what the mental load of German taxes is.
Yes.
As you are always treated like a criminal whenever you just forget something or whatever. I mean, never mess with the Finanzamt, they say.
Yeah. You shouldn't mess with the Steueramt as well, but it is,
of course,
but they are friendly people.
Yeah.
And it is, they are not working against us. So it is quite different than in other countries.
And, yeah, that's very yeah, good.
And I am supporting, especially the expats that come here. They do have other topics when they arrive and also during their stay here. They don't speak German. They do not know anyone except for their work colleagues. They need to find a school for their kids. Mm-hmm. They need to find a house. So they actually do have a lot to do and figure out. And taxes are most probably the least attractive in this list. And mm-hmm. This is a burden that I can take from them, because then they can concentrate on the more fun stuff.
And this is also the reason why you do the podcast in German and English. So
yes.
There will be episodes that will be German, episodes that will be English. So what I hear from this is that it's not common or a standard that every tax advisor is taking care of these things in German and English, especially in Zurich. Is that correct?
Yes, there are still a lot of tax people that don't feel comfortable in speaking English with people. So yes, so this is something definitely all my clients can rely on. They can choose German or English. We can have a short conversation in French as well. But when it comes to taxes, let's focus on English and German.
And I also heard about you that there's no challenge that is too big to have a look at. So you are specialized not only on international clients, but also on complex issues. So
yes.
What was maybe a more complex case that you had, of course, without getting us any names or whatever, but could you maybe get into the details of a more complex case that you know other tax advisors would maybe not take on?
Yes. So I do have a lot of clients that have restricted stock units that they receive during their employment. A lot of them are internationally mobile. So they might have worked in Singapore or the UK or the US, whatever. And they are now in Switzerland, and now these restricted stock units are vesting over time. So I know that there are tax advisors that are not really sure about how to declare that. There is what is even more complex is carried interest. This is a financial vehicle that private equity companies are giving to their employees. And this is a very complex thing. Or people, especially from the US, that have set up a trust, which does make sense for US tax purposes, but which is maybe very difficult or irrelevant, can be both for Swiss taxes. So the trust topic. And then a lot of my clients, they do have a mix. So they have maybe those restricted stock units. Then they have a house in Finland. They are paying alimony to an ex-wife in Italy. They have stocks from all over the world. They are paying foreign withholding taxes on their investments. Like all this stuff that needs to be treated somehow. And there's not a single tax declaration that includes it all. But there are many. Yeah, they are so different all, but it is important to keep in mind that there are international ties that these people might have, and consider the impact on the Swiss taxes.
Wow, I mean, that sounds complex. So,
or maybe anyone... something else, like, which is more and more common. People are mobile and they are working from anywhere in the world, from a van in Portugal or from a co-working space in Zurich, but actually they are working maybe for a company in New York, or they are working for a Chinese company or whatever. This is something when the social security legislation comes in place as well, and when things are starting to get a little bit more complicated. But we do help our clients, of course, to set this up properly and be compliant also in terms of social security. Because it is something that is very important. When it comes to self-employed people, we help them with the social security issues as well, or not issues, with the social security legislation. We recommend, if we can see that there is an insurance gap, so that someone that is self-employed isn't properly insured, for example, against disability, we will point that out and advise the person to get a proper insurance. So we are not selling insurances, but we are advising that people should get one to actually close the gap.
And what would you say? I mean, everyone who can relate to that, just contact you directly on LinkedIn, I would say, or on your website.
Yes, on the website. The website, people can book a 15-minute intro call. So there's a calendar. Just pick a slot and then we have a quick chat and find out what needs to be done.
This is super smart as well, because you lower the hurdle, because, I mean, it's a complex topic already and people might not do the first step because they think it's not for me. But on the other hand, it's rather complex. So with that call, you really lowered the barrier for people to get into contact. And this is why you are so successful already. I mean, your boutique is now how many years in
It's still in the first year. So only started this beginning of 25. So the boutique is quite young. And yeah, but it's going very well. I'm very happy, and there's a lot of happy clients already.
And the lot of happy clients that you also have, I mean, you worked as tax advisor in the past as well. So could you say how many clients you already helped through your career, which is, of course, a little longer than your company now?
It is longer than 1 year, yes.
Exactly.
I would say it's hundreds. It's a few hundreds, maybe around 600, 700, I would estimate. So exactly. I had the chance to look into 600 people's lives, to support them and to be part of their life for a certain period, which is
and a lot honor. And a lot of your clients are yeah, I would say long-term clients, right? You just once told me that one of the most common reasons why clients leave you is because they leave the country.
Yes. And I can't do anything about that. So if you decide to move to Italy, I won't be able to file your tax return any longer.
And you just told me that you had one client who left the country for some years, who is now back. And one of the first calls was back to you, right?
Yes. So that was in February or something. It was like, Julia, I'm back. And I was like, but you left like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And he was like, yes, but I'm coming back to Switzerland. And I just read that you are back as well. So here we go again. That was lovely.
And this is one of the best success metrics that you could ever have. So, I mean, this is also the plan for this podcast. So everyone who is listening today for the first time, Julia is also having some clients invited to the podcast who are talking about how you work with them. What problems did you solve? So everyone who wants to get to know more about this should definitely stay to the podcast.
Yes.
To also hear the client stories.
Yes. There will be clients and other interesting guests in the podcast to give you a good insight into the Swiss tax system and maybe give you an idea. So, this could be relevant for me too.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the USPs that absolutely stands out is that personal tax boutique. So, it's not just a name, it's really in the DNA of your company.
It is.
And you really care about the people, about their lives, and about
Yes, exactly.
Is there something, Julia, maybe something we don't know from maybe just your website or your LinkedIn that is something?
Wollen wir auf die?
Yeah. Yeah, genau. Okay. And Julia, is there something that is maybe something complex in your life right now that you're also solving? I mean, if you like to solve complex tax cases, maybe you're getting that into your life too. So is there something we should know about you?
Yes. I'm not sure if everybody should know it, but it is. I'm dealing with a very complex project in my personal life right now because we are renovating an old barn, like an old farm. House, barn, wooden thing, and turn it into flats. There is a lot of wood, not too many walls right now, no floors, no windows, nothing. And it is a very big, complex, muddy, and super exciting project that is testing me as well, but on a very different level. Yes.
I can absolutely relate, but this is interesting to know because this shows of you as a person, you are not afraid of such projects, or be it a construction site. So everyone who wants to know more about that can also, jump to your blog as well, to Tax and the City.
Anyone that once always wanted to drive an excavator can call me as well, because I do own an excavator and I do have a spare helmet.
Nice. Since it's now November, the episode is coming out then in December. Is there anything for the people who listen in December, anything they should rather take care of, anything that is in the tax system which they might not be aware? So when people listen to the podcast, what should they do in December?
Yeah, so there's basically two ways. Either you already did your 24 tax return, then you should check if you did your Pillar 3A contributions for 25. If you are 50 plus, it's maybe not too late to check if a pension fund buy-in does make sense to optimize your taxes. And apart from that, be prepared in January to actually collect all those documents that you will receive about 25. I highly recommend having a dedicated box at home. When stuff arrives on paper, just put everything in the same place, because what I cannot do for you is dig out all the documents. I can't come to your home and search for them. And all the stuff that you have in digital form, have it in a dedicated folder. If you are married and have a joint filing obligation with your partner, share this folder and both collect bank statements, Pillar 3A confirmations, the childcare statement from daycare, whatever applies to you, and collect all that. Once it comes in, put it in the right place, because this is like half of your work is then, or 80% of your work is then done already. And I will not be the pain person that asks you in August for this one bank statement that you actually received in January. And if you are among the people that haven't done their 24 taxes yet, please do it before Christmas. Potentially, you did miss the deadline depending on the canton a lot, or just there is several cantons that give you until the end of the year. But anyway, take care of it, do it, because it won't go away by not doing it. And it will just double your trouble in the beginning of 26, because then there is going to be 24 and 25 open. And I highly want to encourage people to take care of it before Christmas, because then you can potentially enjoy your Christmas break more. Because otherwise, mental load, you will be sitting there like, oh, good Lord, I still have to do the 24 taxes.
Yes.
So absolutely. These are my two top recommendations for December 25.
And everyone who is still afraid of it should just contact you.
Yes. And then we will solve the problem and get rid of your fear. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. So, Julia, thank you for this first episode of your own podcast, Tax
yes.
and the City.
Crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
So everyone who wants to know more or wants to help you grow this podcast further, please leave a review or share it to other friends, family,
yes.
or someone who definitely needs help with taxes. And then
point them my way. Yeah.
Exactly, will help making taxes even more enjoyable for
yes.
the people.
And I'm looking
out
there. Forward to speaking with clients and other interesting people in my tax world, and bring this in the next podcast episodes. If there is a topic that people are like, oh my God, I want to hear something about that, of course, drop a message or leave a comment and say, this is a topic I really want you to discuss. And then we can pick that up in one of the next episodes.
Exactly. That's very nice closing words. So, Julia, thank you, and see you in the next episode, everyone, of Tax and the City.
Yes. Hope to broadcast to you then. Thank you.